Have you been exploring your spirituality and learning more about yourself? And now you're ready to take bold, positive action. Are you seeking clarity about what is really blocking you from your greatest potential? Do you feel like you're so close to a breakthrough, but you can't figure out why you continue to feel stuck at the same level? Join us now for Real Talk with Joyce and Jennifer, two transformational coaches who are eager to share all they've learned over the many years they've each been working with clients, helping them create the life they want. Joyce and Jennifer both have extensive, diverse backgrounds in the art of conscious transformation, and they are here to help you. So tune in now for the insight and tools you need to consciously live, work, and play so that you can live the life you most deeply long to experience.
Hi, it's Joyce here. Welcome to Real Talk with Joyce and Jennifer. I'm a transformational coach, life purpose facilitator, and retreat leader who guides women to find clarity and purpose in times of transition, change, loss, and transformation so that they can live their most authentic and courageous life.
Hey everyone, it's Jennifer, and I'm also a transformational coach, facilitator, and consultant, which means I transform the mentality of leaders so that their entire staff and corporate culture can shift toward higher purpose. But most importantly, as we all know by now, I'm a mom. So Joyce, it feels like for the past few weeks, we traded in natural disasters and mass shootings and terrorism for a series of sexual harassment headlines. So this morning, I think we were all shocked to see that Matt Lauer was fired by the Today Show. I know we've casually mentioned that maybe we'll do a future show on this topic, so I don't want to take up too much time. But since we typically kick off the show with a short segment on current affairs, I would like to weigh in on this. And what I'm about to say, by the way, has absolutely nothing to do with Matt Lauer. What it does have to do with is just the subject at hand. And I think first, and it's probably obvious, but you know, anyone who engages in sexual misconduct with intent to harm should absolutely unequivocally be removed from their position. I don't think there's any question about that. Seems simple and straightforward, though if we look around, that message is still lost on many, which I think is why so many women are standing up right now. And so here we sit with this tidal wave effect of sexual harassment cases and the dire consequences. I mean, these guys, their whole careers and you know, in journalism or whatever, you know, some of these corporate guys just fired on the spot. And so, I mean, I don't know if it's on the spot, but it sure is perceived that way, right? And I guess the thing that triggered my thought today was it wasn't about Matt Lauer. It got my attention that the headline read, NBC fires Matt Lauer over sexual misconduct allegation. And so the word allegation, I guess, is what triggered a lot of things for me. Because, I mean, I just want to say this. I don't have any idea whether Matt Lauer is guilty or not guilty. I have no idea whether any of these other guys, Charlie Rose and who, you know, the list of guys that have been tagged this past couple weeks. I'm not a judge. I'm not a jury member. I have no evidence to review. But I have to say this. As a professional adult woman with many years under my belt, and you probably have experienced this too, Joyce, but I've been on the receiving end of a wide spectrum of sexual misconduct. And when I say spectrum, I mean spectrum. You know, everything from being sexually propositioned over a business lunch by a retired mayor, who, by the way, would never recognize me in a street because he's probably done it dozens, if not hundreds of times over the years. You know, all the way to having a date rape drug poured into my glass of wine when I wasn't looking. And, you know, those are two very different situations, but there's a whole lot of other experiences I've had in that whole space in between. And I know I'm not alone in this. And so when I see all these headlines popping up, I'm like, wow, women are really starting to stand up. I'm proud of them. I'm, you know, supportive of them. And I know we could take up a whole show talking about this, but there's one situation many years ago that I do want to bring up because it's been really weighing on my mind. When I was in my late 20s, I was a young nonprofit executive. I think we all know that by now. I basically came into town, took a position as a fundraiser, got rid of all the events that were, you know, really high, you had high productivity, low profit, I was like, yeah, forget that. And I transformed the entire financial development platform. And in doing so, I worked closely with a board member who was male, older than me, just a good old Southern boy, you know, but very successful in his corporate career. And we ended up doing such great work together that he ended up receiving a national award. And when he gave his acceptance speech, he referred to me as the sexy little thing. I laugh now because it's hilarious to think about. If you knew us, if you knew our working relationship, I mean, it's just, it sounds so horrifying to hear that. But if you knew the guy, if you knew the situation, it would just be humorous. And so it's terribly out of line that he said that. I get it. But I knew him so well. He was a cherished colleague. He had a heart of gold. He in no way, shape, or form intended to hurt me, insult me, or make anyone uncomfortable, even though he did all of the above accidentally, right? It was shocking to hear him say this, of course. I had no idea he or anyone else thought of me as a sexy little thing. I mean, I could hear someone say, hard worker, check, outspoken, check, bold, check. I get it. That's me. I could be described in all these ways. The sexy little thing threw every one of us in the room off. And he did. He felt terrible. He's a classic extrovert like myself and just speaks before thinking a little too often. So the following morning, I got a visit, not a phone call, not an email. I got a visit from the organization's attorney to see if I wanted or intended to take legal action. And I was just as shocked to be asked this as I was to hear him give his speech the night before. My head was spinning. And I just looked at him. I kind of laughed and I said, no, it never even occurred to me. And he, you know, the attorney pressed me a little harder to be sure I understood the gravity of the situation, how inappropriate his conduct was and so forth. And I continued to assure him that this person wouldn't hurt me in a million years. And I certainly wasn't going to hurt him simply for something that he said that was incredibly stupid. Anyway, I'm getting carried away. I'm spending even too much time on this. I just want to conclude by saying this. It is way overdue for men to be held accountable for their inappropriate and harmful views and behaviors. It's just way overdue. And in an effort to make this major change, I think we must be sure that we're still doing our due diligence regarding intent. I think intent is everything. So I think I've said enough here, but Joyce, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I agree with
I know.
A lot you
said.
It'd be
a whole show.
It is, absolutely. But, you know, Jennifer, I certainly agree with intent and you know, when I was looking at sexual misconduct allegations, I don't know. And it somehow this just doesn't feel quite right to me. Why would you say allegation and fire the man on the spot without really knowing it? I mean, I just think that we have to be we need to be really careful that we have clear evidence that a man's behavior really has been inappropriate before he's fired and shamed and his life has changed forever, because that's what happened. And, you know, I don't want the energy from people to it's feeling the like you get a little bit be like getting like we're getting into a pack of angry dogs after the prey. And I don't want this to shift into that. I want every, just like you, I totally stand up for women who are standing up, being courageous and doing this. But I also just have feelings about, I don't want people being accused of something that it was actually a very innocent comment, that somebody's blowing out of proportion. And there is a thin line there. And I know that that's why people can't say things that they don't really, they're not really clear about what they're saying to people, how the person's going to take it or not. That's really what the issue is. So, you know, so I think this is clearly what the feminine energy is all about now. And it's about sometimes brutally making change, but also having compassion and forgiveness. And I'm just very curious to see what comes from this allegation with Matt Lauer. And so I think that's my thoughts for right now. A lot of it, you know, we could certainly talk about this a lot more in another program. There's so much to say about it. And So, okay, so yeah. Let's get on to our topic for today. So welcome again, everybody. So today we're really in a dialogue about extreme self-care, which is not self-care, but it's extreme self-care, which is different. So I think that most people would say that they do their basic self-care of like going to the dentist, the eye doctor, visiting your primary care doctor for a yearly checkup. You also might go, most people are now going to a yoga class or have a monthly massage or, you know, work out daily or at least several times a week. But there is much more to extreme self-care than these basic appointments and practices. That's almost like the bottom rung. We have to do that stuff, but if we're really moving into care for us, we have to do some other things. So, and you may think that extreme self-care sounds selfish and self-absorbed. And, you know, people would say, well, why would I put myself at the top of my list or focus on what I want when everybody else around me and my family needs to be cared for? So, you know, well over about, I could say like the last 15 years, I've coached hundreds of clients who wanted to significantly change their lives. And many of them have been able to overcome obstacles and make dramatic life change. So from, I would say, years of conversations that I've had with people, I've been able to identify, identify six of the most common obstacles that consistently prevent people from really taking care of themselves and really living the life that they love. So here's the ones that I've identified, and Jennifer may have more in there are many more obstacles that are just common to all of us. So here are the primary ones that I've come up with. And we'll be right back and we'll start on looking at those obstacles.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
America's wild Mustangs need our support more than ever. If you believe in the preservation of our iconic wild Mustangs and our wild places, now and for future generations, we invite you to Walk with Wild Love Preserve. Founded in 2010, nonprofit Wild Love Preserve has pioneered an innovative model in wild horse conservation, which has garnered national attention and is serving as a framework in the West. As a unique legacy project, kindness, mutual respect, science, and education drive Wild Love Preserve's mission to protect and preserve Western wild horses in their native habitats and nurture the legacy of respective indigenous ecosystems as an interconnected whole for future generations to equally treasure and nurture. Thank you for your action and for having a positive impact on our lasting wildness. Together, we succeed on behalf of our greater good and collective well-being. As a charitable nonprofit, Wild Love Preserve relies on donations and grants to fund our operations in Central Idaho. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation to Wild Love Preserve. Please visit wildlovepreserve.org to learn more.
Welcome back. So we're going to talk about some of the common obstacles. And if people listen, you can see, does any of these pop up for you? So the first one is your schedule does not reflect your priorities. You find yourself exhausted at the end of the day and and you have very little time to do the things that are really important to you. This is, I hear this a lot. The second one, you feel drained by people, places, and things. You have one long list of things to do, and it seems to never get completed. You're drained by people, family members, and some friends who just call you to complain and really don't contribute a whole lot to listening to you. Number three, you have a job or career that you can't stand. You don't know how to make the change you need, so you continue doing the same job year after year. How many millions of people say that? You have no plan or vision for your life. You're living day by day and making no changes in your health, relationship, or career. Just going through life and allowing it to affect you whatever way it does. You're missing a supportive community in your life. You feel isolated and disconnected from others who are like-minded, and that could be a support. The last one is your spiritual well-being gets last place in your busy life. You'd like to spend more time in meditation, prayer, yoga, but your busy life keeps all these activities out of the way. So creating a life you want really takes courage, and it takes commitment, and it takes some hard work that involves extreme self-care. Correct, Jennifer?
Yes. Extreme, Joyce, extreme. Boy, I go over this all the time with clients, and that, yes, to me is that everything on that list, it represents something that, something stressful, which actually is the reason for self-care, right? It shouldn't be the obstacle to it. It's the reason to go do it. But, you know, not to make too much light of it, it absolutely shouldn't be an excuse not to take care of yourself, right? Not to take care of ourselves. As human beings, I find us to be so humorous. You know, sometimes we're just truly crazy, in a good way, of course. But wow, it's interesting to me to talk about this, because over and over we get caught in these traps, and then we just don't even balance it out by taking care of ourselves. We use it as an excuse not to take care of ourselves. So, it's also an interesting time for me to talk about this again, because just recently I got busted for it. I was having coffee with a friend, and she, like many others, holds me accountable to practicing what I preach, just to make sure that I'm actually taking care of myself too. She was looking at my tired face, or maybe I'm assuming that, and said, "Have you been taking care of yourself?" And I said, "Well, I work out nearly every day. I've been doing yoga. I eat healthy food. So yes, I've been taking care of myself." And then she says, dun, 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 and this is the key. "Yes, but what do you always tell everyone else? No matter how much self-care you are practicing, it probably isn't enough." She said that verbatim, because that's what I say verbatim all the time to all my friends and clients. No matter how much self-care you are practicing, it probably isn't enough. And right then I knew I was busted. It wasn't enough. I was exhausted, and I was not replenishing my body enough relative to the energy I was expending. So our wellness and our energy is like money. You have to give and receive for it to work. You can't expect your body to keep up with a grueling schedule and think you'll be healthy. You absolutely will not. And what happens when your health goes? Everything goes. And we all know I've been down that road too many times, and I'm not doing it again. And neither are you, our listeners. Say yes to your well-being. You're not a martyr, and you were never intended to be. And there is no honor in that mentality or behavior, by the way, even if you were raised to believe it. Even if your mother was a martyr, it doesn't make it right. Your health, your mental and physical health, is a pure divine gift, and it is up to each and every one of us to honor that gift by taking extremely good care of ourselves. And by the way, I am reminding myself of this message too. I'm not on a soapbox. I'm just simply stating the truth. So, like Forrest Gump, Joyce, that's what I have to say about that.
Jennifer, certainly I know this to be a true statement myself. I think this is why this subject is so timely, and always is a subject I really like, because I always need to hear it. So you know, I've spent much of, I would say, my midlife, 40s, 50s, while I was living in New York, working a full-time job in a nursing job, which I was working in the evenings. And then during the day, I was developing a fashion and event business. So I'd frequently get up around 7. I had employees that came at 9, anywhere from 1 to 4 people. And I would leave in the mid-afternoon and go to my nursing job. And then I get off at 12 o'clock, and the time I get home, it's 1 or 2. And that's what I did for years when I was in New York. So I was exhausted most of the time, but I just kept going, you know, and it really took me years to slow down and learn to say no to overworking and going to events and doing things that I absolutely did not have to do. And it just seemed really hard for me to do that. So I really, when I thought about how long have you really been doing self-care, not that I didn't do care for myself for those years or I would have never lasted, but I think I would say it's been about the last 8 years that I really started to seriously integrate extreme self-care in my life and make myself a priority. And that is why I feel very, you know, very passionate about this subject. And one of my favorite coaches is Cheryl Richardson, who's a Hay House author, life coach. She wrote a wonderful book on this subject, The Art of Extreme Self-Care, Transform Your Life 1 Month at a Time. So Cheryl says, I love this definition of how she describes what an extreme self-care life is like. So Cheryl says, enjoying a life of extreme self-care means living and working in a soul-nurturing environment, developing a greater appreciation for and connecting with nature, doing work that provides an opportunity to express your greatest gifts and talents, and caring for your emotional, physical, and spiritual health in a way that aligns with who you are and what you most need. I just think that is really beautiful and very well said, very rounded out, holistic view of extreme health care life. So we know that this is a challenging concept. It's challenging for us. It's challenging for most people. So, you know, Jennifer, I know as a mother that you agree with this last statement, this has to be more challenging for women who have children.
Well, I hate to be so biased, but I would give that a major yes in capital letters with exclamation points. Just because I have been a working professional woman without children, and I have been a working professional woman with children. And so, you know, those of us who are working mothers are usually exhausted. Truly. And we keep smiling and we keep going and we do it for the love of it. But yeah, extreme self-care is really, really critical. And catering to everyone at home and work, you know, just it takes more of a toll than we think, but we're such creatures of habits. And it just needs to get done, right? So, but I have one friend who is a working mother, and she may be the only one I know in my social circle who is really good at self-care. And as a result, is extremely healthy mentally and physically, in spite of, you know, being in an environment where there's constant negativity surrounding her from others. She takes nature walks. She takes power walks. She gets massages. She gets mani-pedis. She'll take breaks for chats with friends over coffee, you know, in person. She'll go and take a break and go enjoy that. She has a fabulous garden that she created. She uses it for her spiritual replenishment, and she actually created an area in it that has kind of like a little sanctuary, and she goes there every single day for prayer and meditation before she starts her day. And she really epitomizes what I believe extreme self-care looks like, because it's so deeply embedded into her regimen. And so I use her as my kind of my practical role model in a sense. And then I use like my clients' needs, my kids' love, my health history as my motivation, right? Like I really need to do this. Mm-hmm. But she's kind of like my inspiration. And so, and interestingly, she is the one that called me out on it over coffee. Hello.
I figured that. Yeah. Well, she sounds like she should be teaching this class. She sounds
exactly.
great. I mean, right on. I love what she
fabulous.
What she does.
Yes.
So if she can do
yes.
it, if she can figure this out, then other people can too. So
that's right.
So here's So here's some other suggestions on how you can actually start turning your life around, kind of one change at a time. And remember, this is one change at a time. This is not like get somewhere, sit down and do all this stuff, because it'll never work that way. You can just do one of those things that we just heard about that Jennifer's friend had implemented. It would be powerful, just one a month, trying something new and doing something and seeing how it's working. So one would be, ask yourself, what is showing up in your life? What's working and what needs to change? And most people don't even do that. What is working in my life? And just sitting down and hammering it in. What is it? What's working here? What needs to go? What is creating stress and unhappiness in my life? If you don't identify it, you can never change it. The second one is getting clear on what you really want for your life. Get your priorities straight. Set new priorities that align with what is really important to you. Another thing, most of us just aren't living in alignment with our priorities of what we say we want. We say we want a spiritual life. We say we want to exercise more. We say we want to take care of ourselves. And those probably are what we really want, but yet we're not doing them, and we're out of alignment, and our body is out of alignment with what we want to do with it. Another one is, identify old beliefs and patterns that are holding you back from living an empowered, healthy, and spiritual lifestyle. And we'll be right back and talk some more about suggestions to turn your life around.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Depleted by the rat race? Depressed by the attitudes of the human race? The book Honor explains why and how to transform your life from confusion and heartache to one that you most authentically desire. Join Om Times Radio host Jennifer McKenna Weinbaum as she takes you on her journey from her darkest period to her happiest and healthiest life. Entertaining, enlightening, Honor will help you find and maintain the love and light in your own life. Visit www.universalabundance.com to pre-order your copy.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Listen, my life changed because someone was there to get me to use drugs. No one can understand. People think that having someone who will listen makes it better. I need help.
I'm listening.
I need help. I think that having someone who will listen makes it better. People understand. No one can get me to use drugs. My life changed because someone was there to listen.
Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to turn addiction around. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. So we're talking about
suggestions of how you can turn your life around one change at a time. So the third one was identifying the old beliefs and patterns that are holding you back from living an empowered, healthy, and spiritual lifestyle. That takes time to sit down and really think about that and get clarity on that, because without clearing some of those old patterns, you're not going to be able to move into taking care of yourself as you should. The next one is discover your life purpose that includes your talents and gifts. And I can't say enough about this, Jennifer, and I've talked many times about identifying, discovering, manifesting, and living your life purpose. And that when you get clear about your life purpose, this path, this changes will actually shift your life, and it will, because you can't live on purpose and it not change your life. So the next suggestion is create a plan that will keep you to improve your health, nutrition, and well-being. If you're unhealthy, health and wellness have to be your one main priority first. So get true with yourself. Tell yourself the truth about what you're putting in your body and expecting that it's going to fuel you all day long and you're going to be healthy about it. It just doesn't happen. And I meet people all the time who haven't eaten all day long and are, it's dinner and they haven't eaten and they're working. I don't know how you do it, because I can't. So the next one is finding a supportive community to support, challenge, and encourage you to be your best self. So finding a like-minded people to be in a community with, you know, we've talked about this also as being considered to be one of the most important things that you can do for your overall well-being. You have to have like-minded, supportive people. Like Jennifer said, people who call you out on your stuff. Why do you look so tired? What do you need to do? I want to support you, not ignore it. And so like-minded people, that you have to have them in your life. And the last one to change your life around is that you increase your spiritual practice, meditation, prayer, engaging in, if it's religious, spiritual community services, finding online courses like the Shift Network, Sounds True, Wisdom University, and there really are a plethora of choices out there right now to get support around and meet other people online. It's not like in person, but it's better than being isolated and alone. So.
Yes. And, you know, speaking of that community, I not only have friends who do that, and but the gym where I work out, I purposely chose it because of the community that they create, pushing me to eat more regularly, because I am a recovering addict of the no eating diet that you mentioned, Joyce. The no eating diet is not healthy, not recommended, doesn't get you anywhere good. But I would always get so busy that I would just forget, literally. And so they kind of rehabilitated me from that bad habit. But it's just a wonderful, like-minded community that really does help to remind us of these things. And so I chose it because of that, you know, because even you and I, Joyce, we know these things. We've practiced these things for years. We teach other people. We're still human, and human beings are creatures of habit. Mm-hmm. And if we are left to our own devices, we will go back to our most familiar pattern from our earliest, you know, formation. And so we do really have to constantly do this until it becomes second nature. So I love all these lists that you always bring, Joyce. I truly love them. They're so great. They help us get really focused and clear. And today, they remind me of how often I teach clients the power of divine law over the conditioned rules we've learned to live by. And so, example, a conditioned rule, which I kind of just made up that phrase just now, by the way, it's kind of a definition, is it's something that most of us have been raised to believe. So it's a rule we live by and we're conditioned to believe it. Okay. So it's a conditioned rule. We're just going to call it that for today, for the sake of this conversation. And so let's use the working hard rule as the example of a conditioned rule. Because most of us were conditioned to believe that we simply must keep working hard in order to be successful, right? That message has been and continues to be everywhere. In fact, even today, I will hear ads on the radio about how hard we must work and how hard I will work for you. And it kind of makes me cringe. It's like, oh my God, here we go. Mm-hmm, I've spent years recovering from this, and now you're just like, it's all over the airwaves. So, by saying that, it doesn't mean that I'm suggesting we all be lazy, right? There's a human tendency to just go from one extreme to the other. I'm not suggesting that at all. And so it just simply means that we absolutely will not be successful simply by working hard. We may make a lot of money in the short term, or we may not, because there's really no correlation between the two if you study it. But we will eventually or ultimately lose our health in the long term. So it's kind of senseless to adopt this conditioned rule of you have to work hard to be successful without balancing our hard work with extreme self-care to be sure that we don't get severely out of balance and neglect our well-being. So that's just an example of a conditioned rule, the working hard thing. So now let's look at what I call a divine law, right? A lot of people call it that. But today, let's just refer to it as divine law. Sometimes we hear universal law, different things. But oftentimes, a divine law will run contrary to a conditioned rule. And an example of a divine law that represents extreme self-care would be the belief that when we're exhausted or depleted, instead of pushing harder, like the conditioned rule would tell us to do, divine law says we need to absolutely walk away completely and lose ourselves in a nurturing activity instead, which may, in fact, be no activity at all. Maybe it's a nap. You know, it depends on what you need at that time. But regardless, you get the point. It's an exercise of faith, which is why I use it as an example of divine law. When we exercise faith while exercising extreme self-care, we will absolutely be rewarded. So now I'd like to illustrate it with a story, of course. There was a time when I had no idea where my next round of income would come from. And boy, did I need it badly. And if I followed the conditioned rule, which I was very, very well wired around, I would have just dove deeply into my work to fix it and to try to make it happen, bring the income in, make it happen, pound the pavement, right? Instead, I leveraged what I know of divine law, and right in the middle of the workday, I left everything and went for a nature hike. I went somewhere I had never been. I lost myself for an hour in a new forest, so it was new territory, nothing familiar about it. And honest to God, the second I emerged from the woods, and headed for my car, my phone dinged. And guess what it was? It was a text from a client, and she literally wrote these words. I found a bunch of money in my budget, and I want to hire you with it. And that, my friends, is the power of divine law.
we get
rewarded. Yeah, right? We get rewarded when we exercise that over our addictions to abusing ourselves at some level.
Interesting. I just heard a few minutes ago, I was quickly on a teleconference with Dr. Joe Dispenza, who was talking about this, that sometimes you have to get beyond yourself, that you can't stay with a self that keeps, like you just said, keeps doing the same thing, that even intention sometimes doesn't work because you can over-intend something over and over and over until you're pushing it. And sometimes, you know, letting it go doesn't work either without any effort. So it's really like just what Jennifer said. Sometimes when you just walk away from it for a few minutes, get out of it and do something out of the ordinary, get beyond yourself, whatever that means to you, stop thinking about what the issue is. Then the magic starts working. The divine principles start coming into our life. And it's just a very interesting thing to watch how that can happen. So, you know, these are some other things that had really love that I think anybody could do that really, I would say these things improve your life tremendously. They have mine, and I was reading about them, but I found these are all things that I actually do myself, and Jennifer, you probably do some of these too. So these three things help anyone to connect with nature and animals, and it reduces stress. So one of the greatest ones that I can think of is rescuing an animal, a cat, a dog, a pig, a goat, or a horse, or adopt all of them. I'd love to myself.
Right.
They help ground you and help you slow down. They give and take love. They love you unconditionally. How can this not affect your life? I cannot say enough of, you know, adopting animals, rescue animals, and what it brings into your life. It's powerful. And another one that I just did this time for in my house where I am now is putting up a bird feeder. So you can actually feed the birds and watch all of these different kind of birds come outside your window as you're working. And I just love it. And of course, the squirrels get, they get like big guys and they bump out the birds. But, you know, it's just all these little critters out there in a tree that is wonderful. It's just something, and you get to feed them every day. So the third thing that anybody can do is build a garden outside or in your home. And to grow something that is living and caring for it really builds a relationship with nature. And I mean, this is the most wild one that I've ever done. But when I lived in a condo in the middle of the city here in Atlanta, I wanted a garden. So I designed a water garden on my balcony. And I loved it. And it was peaceful and easy to care for. Just have to remember to always put water in the plant container. Sorry, it will die. But I loved it. It was beautiful. It was different. Everybody loved it who came there. It was just like them right there. You can always do something in your house to make something special, some area. So, you know, making a decision to change your life begins by coming aware that you deserve to live a better life, a healthier life, a more abundant life. You then, after you're aware and make that decision, then you can make a choice that you can lead to living a life of extreme self-care. And we'll be back, and Jennifer will talk to us some more about self-care.
Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world, Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Chris, you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2.
There's your comic book collection, the race car bed.
I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I'm taking control over my financial life, and that feels pretty grown up to me.
Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Are those footy pajamas?
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
So welcome back. You know, Joyce, I wanted to comment on a couple of things you had on that list because they're really so important. You talk about adopting an animal. And I just want to touch on that really quickly, because oftentimes people who are stressed out and need extreme self-care would hear that and say, oh my God, that's the last thing I need is another dependent. And in right. fact, I yeah. got that. I've never had a cat until this year, and I adopted one. His family moved to Europe, and then a feral cat kind of adopted me because she was in love with my cat. So, nothing as you know, and I had several people say, "Oh my God, that's the last thing you need," right? And nothing in a long time has given me as much joy as those two cats, and I have helped the feral cat become trusting. It's just been an evolutionary process that has given my spirit such energy. And then the second thing you talked about the plants and the water gardens, I thought when you said you just have to remember to water them, and I heard you giggle, I thought, well, there you go. I always say, if you look at my plants, it'll tell you where I am with extreme self-care. Because when they look like they need a lot of water, I do too. I forgot to drink enough water that day. So one more exercise I would like to add to the mix requires a tiny bit of drawing. So bear with me, since this is, you know, audio and not visual, as I try to describe it. But if you take out a piece of paper and you draw a simple cross, and it's a balanced cross, it's not a depiction of the crucifixion. It means that the horizontal line and the vertical line are the same length. Once you draw it, place these words on each point at the end of each line. So, for example, on the right end of the horizontal line, write the words emotional health. On the left end of the same line, write intellectual health. On the top end of the vertical line, write spiritual health. And on the bottom end of that same line, write physical health. So if you look around your cross, you see emotional health, spiritual health, physical health, intellectual health, if you're going clockwise. So emotional health basically means that you question, are you taking care of your emotions? Are you allowing yourself to truly feel what you feel without judging yourself or without filtering your feelings with what you think is more appropriate than what you're actually feeling? And if you aren't able to do this regularly, are you seeing a therapist to help you do it? Okay, that would all be considered taking care of your emotional health. Intellectual health means you're actually exercising your brain. You know, we often talk about exercising your body, go to the gym. But how about exercising your brain? Are you doing crossword puzzles? Are you reading books? What are you doing to keep your brain healthy? Spiritual health means you're sitting in nature, you're doing yoga, you're doing meditation or prayer, or like me, I'm nurturing a feral cat. whatever energizes your spirit and releases any heaviness that keeps your spirit from feeling like it's soaring. And then, you know, the fourth one, the physical health, it asks us to look at, how are you taking care of your body? Are you eating well? Are you eating enough? Are you eating too much? Are you exercising enough? Are you doing some form of physical activity 3 or 4 times a week? Because we know that's what you need to do, right? Are you taking vitamins and supplements? So each week, think about these things. Look at your cross, make a pencil mark on the line to show yourself where you are in each of these four areas. You can see at a glance where you are out of balance, and then you can take appropriate immediate action to get yourself back into balance. All four areas should be in optimal shape for you to be at your best. And by the way, that is the only way you can provide your best self for, you know, to your family and to your coworkers and to your work itself. And so this is just another example of how to exercise and monitor your self-care. So,
absolutely. Yeah.
There we have it.
Love it. I love that exercise. Yeah. So we had a great show today. Let's recap. First, recognize the obstacles to engaging in self-care. Common examples include it's not a priority. You're drained and exhausted. You don't have a vision for your life. There's no supportive community around you. Your spiritual life never makes it to the top of the list. These are common obstacles to recognize. So let's not make them excuses. Make the commitment to yourself today to prioritize you, your health, your wellness, your energy, and then one by one move through each obstacle as you are able. Recognize what's getting in your way. Reprioritize your activities. Make a vision and a plan for your life. Build a supportive circle of friends so that you have a nurturing community and increase your spiritual practice. Sounds
yes.
good.
And we've talked about lots of ways to do that, including connecting more with nature and animals, replacing your unhealthy conditioned beliefs with new beliefs that are reflective of divine law. Your family, friends, coworkers, and customers will thank you. By the way, you will be a whole new person. You'll be a better version of your unique and beautiful self. Your success will come much easier and more effortlessly, and your energy will soar. So give a new practice of extreme self-care to yourself for the holidays. Don't wait for the new year to say, okay, this is going to be my resolution. Commit today. We're in the holiday season, right? Because once Thanksgiving comes, aren't we in holiday season like the rest of the year? So commit today so that, you know, you end the year with more vitality and you go into the new year even stronger and better. No reason to wait.
Nope.
So anything you'd like to add, Joyce?
No, I think you just, basically you just have to decide, do you want to, in 2018, do you want to be living the same life? Do you want everything to be the same that is in 2017? Do you just want to move it over and not do anything differently? I hope not. I'm actually going to spend, trying to carve out some time right now just to really sit down and look at what I want to let go of, so I can move forward in 2018 and not be doing some of the things that I'm still doing. So I suggest, you know, that's a practice that at the end of the year, everybody should be doing. So,
yeah, I agree. And, you know, when you talk about 2018, and it speaks so much about the power of vision. Like if you look at yourself just a year from today, just you don't even have to go the 5-10 year route, just a year from today.
Mm-hmm.
How do you want to feel, right? Who do you want to have in your world? Who do you hope is not influencing your world every day anymore? What do you envision? What do you want to envision? Give yourself permission. Start there. Because if you can begin with the end in mind, right, if you can look at yourself 1 year from today and see yourself in a time and space with a level of energy and vitality and relationships that you really want, if you can envision that end point, then it's much easier to back up into where you are today and say, okay, now where do I begin? And it's not, the word extreme in extreme self-care does not mean that you need to take it all on at once today, okay? Because that's just kind of like saying, okay, now I'm going to work hard toward extreme self-care. Okay, so this is about pacing yourself. This is about improvement. It's a process. It's making a commitment, sticking with it. So bite off what you know you can handle and then commit and see it through. You know, maybe for the next month, you just want to add a new spiritual practice to your regimen. See if you can master that by the end of a month. See if you can do it once a week for the first week, twice a week the second week, three times a week, and then four times a week on the fourth week. Then, you know what? By the end of that month, there you go. It's part of your regimen. Take one thing at a time that you know you need that is way out of balance. Pace yourself so that you actually feel victorious, because that feeling is really imperative in the process of transformation. We have to reward ourselves not by going out and overindulging in food and alcohol, like the traditional way of rewarding ourselves. We have to reward ourselves by just stopping and recognizing the real achievements. And these are what those are. The exercise of extreme self-care, you know, developing our spirit and our energy.
And one thing I want Jennifer to say is if you make these changes, something will shift in your body so that it's really much harder to go back and do that behavior again. You can't just jump into it. And an example of that is I have meditated so long now that I know before I go out the door, I have to meditate, even if it's only 5 minutes. I must do this, because it affects my brain and my day just to do this. Also, I have tried to sneak this one in so many times, which is eating things that do not align with my body anymore, and I cannot do it. I just can't get over on them. They are not going to, whoever they are, is not going to allow me to eat things
that aren't good for me, like picking up too much chocolate. My body just will after eating, you know, a couple of those things will say, ain't good for you. Don't keep eating it. And so that's a good part of your body that's trying to help you and your mind after you get into some behaviors. That's why repetition is the only way to do this, over and over and over doing it. And you can test yourself over and over and over, and you'll see how your body feels about it. Because if the body doesn't like what's going into it, it's going to show you it's not what you need to be doing.
It's so true, Joyce. There's no going back, and not going back isn't like, oh gosh, I've fallen off the wagon, shame on me. It's literally your body will reject it.
Yes,
it will say,
it will.
No, you're not doing this today. and that is a gift that your body gives back to you over time.
It is.
It won't
I think
let
it's
you.
A wonderful gift, and I never had that until I told some of my practices really, again, when I really tried to be on as much as possible to do extreme self-care for myself. But once you decide to do that, then your body's going to say, okay, well, I'm going to help you to stick to this and not slide back into an old behavior. So I did want to have one announcement.
Yeah. Oh, please.
I just wanted to say I was going to say this next week. Oh, well, I'll have to save it until next week. So thanks for joining us today. Come back next week, and I'll tell you what that was. We'll discuss learning to let go. In the meanwhile, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or email. Or email us directly. We'd love to hear from you. JoyceDillon.com. Thank you. We'll see you next week.
Yes, absolutely. We'll see you next week. In the meantime, be well.
Bye.